This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD. Today we're going to talk about ADHD. Is it an excuse? We're going to answer that question. And we're also going to have a conversation around blame versus responsibility. But before we do that, I wanted to start with a story because this week I am giving a speech at Toastmasters, which is the public speaking club that I belong to. And this is my final speech in like a series of, what is it? I think they call it pathways. But when you join, you basically are given a series of different assignments that you need to complete. And you can do this probably, I don't know, within a year. I think I'm about 3 years later because I like to go off my own Zena DIY path quite often. So anyway, this is the final one in order to get like the formal certificate, basically. So as part of the process for this final assignment, I have to reflect back on my journey as a speaker. And I wanted to share just a couple of takeaways from that reflection with you all. So the very first day that I went along to a Toastmasters meeting, I was terrified of public speaking. I was the kid who, you know, was sick on speech days at school. And I have always been the person in a room when you have to go around and introduce yourself. I wouldn't hear what anyone else said or what their names are or what they did or who they represented, because all I was doing was replaying over and over in my head what I was going to say because I was so anxious and afraid of having my turn. So public speaking to me was one of those things that I classed as terrifying and awful and avoid at all costs. So my goal in going to a Toastmasters meeting was to overcome my fear of speaking in public because I knew with, you know, my role and the work that I was doing and the things that I wanted to accomplish in the world and the goals that I have, I knew that that was something that I really did want to work on and I would need to work on in order to have the kind of impact that I wanted to have. So that's where I started. And today we are roughly 3 years later and we're in a place, or I'm in a place, where I regularly speak on stages, hold a microphone or have, you know, a microphone clipped to me and speak to a large audience of, in some cases, you know, sold out crowds with hundreds of people. And the most impressive thing here for me is that I can say I love it. I actually enjoy doing it. I want to do more of it. And that's crazy when I think about, you know, how shy I was as a child growing up and how terrified I was for the majority of my life speaking in public. Now, I still get nervous. I am very conscious and aware of my RSD and, you know, how I process any criticism or feedback. And yet, I still love it. I love speaking. I love talking to large groups, being on stage, and I actually want to speak on stage in front of thousands of thousands of people. Now, somewhere along the way in the last 3 years, I achieved my goal, okay? I achieved my speaking goal of overcoming my fear to speak in public, and I didn't even realize that not only had I achieved it, but I'd actually exceeded the goal. And along the way, it was hard. It was uncomfortable. There has been plenty of anxiety and sleepless nights. And there's been tears and I have wanted to quit. And I have skipped Toastmasters meetings or I have phoned in sick. You know, I wasn't consistent. I really want you to hear that. I was not consistent week after week. And still, I exceeded the goal. Achieving our goals doesn't require perfection or even consistency. It just requires that we don't quit and that we don't use the hard parts and the discomfort as a reason to give up. So if you have a goal that you want to achieve, I encourage you to book in for a call with me and have a chat about how coaching will help you to do the hard and scary shit whilst having your own back and blowing your own damn mind in the process. Right, that's exactly what I've done with this goal upon reflection, is I've blown my own mind. So if you want to book a call with me, visit zenajones.com and you can get your free ADHD life audit over there. So, is ADHD an excuse? Has someone ever said to you, you know, ADHD is just an excuse for poor time management? You just need to get a better calendar system. Or something like ADHD is just an excuse for lazy people. You need to be more disciplined, or you need to try harder. Right? I've heard so many different variations of these sprinkled around. ADHD is just an excuse. And maybe you have questioned that for yourself. And I know I have at times. Am I making excuses? It can be really tricky to communicate the struggles that we as people with ADHD can experience, especially when they're not visible to the eye, and when they're also something that other people may experience from time to time. So for example, if you are a person who is in a wheelchair, or if you need a cane to walk, or if somebody is blind, these are things that are visible, and most people are considerate to these people having differences and potentially requiring some additional support. Now, let's be very clear here. Scientifically speaking, ADHD is real. It is a recognized worldwide diagnosis. And for us, the difference is in our brain, where it's not visible to the eye how our brain is wired and working differently from the inside. And the struggles that we have are struggles that other people have on occasion. Everybody gets distracted sometimes, or forgets somebody's name, or leaves a mess every now and again. However, we experience those things every single day in our lives, and it impacts the quality of our life. So, is ADHD really an excuse? My friend, the answer is no. ADHD is not an excuse, it is an explanation. Now, here's what I mean by this. The definition of an excuse implies an intent to avoid or remove blame or censor. So again, the definition of an excuse is the intent to avoid or remove blame. So when we think about an excuse, it's tied to, you know, making an excuse, making excuses, which is something that people might do in order to get someone to give them some slack. We make an excuse to get somebody else to give us some slack, versus the definition of an explanation. An explanation is a statement made to clarify something and make it understandable. So an explanation is what we give to explain why something has happened or is happening and create understanding around it. Now, here's the tricky thing. You probably like, you know, yogurt. It rubs me the wrong way because my mum says yogurt, but I say yogurt. So, you know, but it can be really tricky to, you know, differentiate between these two. Or you might say, does it even matter? And the answer is yes, it matters, and it matters a lot. And let me explain that to you. The way we communicate this to somebody might sound the same. So I was late because I have ADHD and time blindness is a thing that I struggle with. Or I'm shocking with names because I've got ADHD and my working memory is not so flash. It could go either way, right? It could be deemed as an excuse, or it could be deemed as an explanation. So how do we actually know the difference? By how we feel. Okay, and this is everything. Stay with me. Excuses, when we make an excuse, it typically comes from feeling defensive or feeling angry, afraid, anxious, insecure, or from a place of blame. Versus when we explain something and we share an explanation, it often comes from a place of openness, of vulnerability, acceptance, integrity, responsibility, or authenticity. Notice that how we feel when we share the reason why we were late or the reason we interrupted somebody. How we feel when we share it is significantly different if we're making an excuse or if we're sharing an explanation. Okay? Are you accepting responsibility or are you deflecting it? So an explanation tells the truth without dismissing any hurt or wrongdoing. Sometimes that means that we say sorry and we accept that our behavior has consequences or may have, you know, upset somebody. So why? If you are feeling, you know, if you're coming from this place of, you know, using it as an excuse and you're feeling perhaps afraid or defensive or angry or anxious, ask yourself why. If you think you might have been making excuses, first of all, that's okay. Like, give yourself a little bit of love and compassion here. Okay? This is common. And then ask, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling like I need to defend myself? Why am I feeling afraid? Why am I feeling, you know, insecure? Or why do I feel like I need to blame someone for this or something for this? Now, most often when I see this, it's because we haven't done the work to accept our ADHD and to own our diagnosis, right? This is a normal part of the process, especially if you haven't had the resources to help and support you through your ADHD journey, right? That's okay. Accepting our ADHD, taking responsibility for ourselves and for how ADHD, you know, impacts us and the way we show up in the world, that can be hard work to do. And it's also some of the most powerful work we will ever do. It will literally change your life. Okay? Acceptance doesn't imply that, you know, it's all easy and rainbows and daisies, or that having ADHD isn't hard sometimes, or it doesn't come without struggles. No. It's accepting that this is how my brain works, this is what I'm working with, and with accepting, understanding it so that we can offer an explanation to others. Now, our default is often to make excuses. I know for me growing up, I was doing that all the time as a kid, making excuses. I hear it from ours all the time. Like one time, the kids were coming up with all of these excuses as to why we had a code brown on our bathroom floor. Somebody had missed the toilet with a code brown. You know what I'm saying? And I was sitting in bed in the morning listening to this, and their dad is trying to understand who missed the toilet and code browned on the floor. And this whole conversation was hilarious. And one of the kids, bless him, he said, "Was it the cats?" It was definitely not the cats, but that was a great excuse. So when we can understand how our ADHD affects our lives, right? Then we can begin to work with it rather than fighting against it, which is generally how we've been operating before we get diagnosed. We try and fight against it. We try to act neurotypical and utilize all of the neurotypical strategies for time management and calendaring and all the things. When we can accept ourselves for who we are and for the differences that we have, and we partner and work with our brain, right, then we can really lean into thriving and explaining, you know, hey, this is why this is late, or this is why I can't remember names, or this is why, you know, I interrupted you and I do apologize that I did that. Okay. My friend, ADHD is not your fault. There is no fault to be given. But it is your responsibility. Now, taking responsibility is the opposite of blame. When I was first diagnosed with ADHD, I blamed my behavior on my ADHD all day, every day. I used it as an excuse, and I'd often be mad that I didn't get as much done today as I said I was going to do, and I'd blame it on my ADHD because of ADHD, I just couldn't focus today. And I'd be jumping from one task to the next and then just not finishing anything and then having nothing to show for it at the end of the day, but I was just blaming it on ADHD. Taking responsibility for what I get done during the day is the opposite of blaming someone or something. And again, the main difference is in how we feel, how we feel inside. And feelings are self-generated, okay? We often believe that our feelings are caused by other people and things outside of our control, like the weather. But this is never the case, okay? We say things like, that person ruined my day, or it's a crappy day outside, it's ruined. And we give that person or that circumstance credit for our emotional life. We are delegating our responsibility for how we feel to someone or something else. And nobody and nothing is that powerful. When we do that, we completely disempower ourselves. We lose all of our power. Something or someone else needs to change in order for us to feel better. Okay, this can be hard because sometimes it does not feel true. I can attest to that. I'll give you an example. When my partner touches the volume control in the car, I feel so angry. Now, when I'm driving, we've got this dial in between us, like on the center kind of console. There is like a circular dial and you can turn it. And as you twist it, it makes a little tiny clicking sound. Very, very tiny clicking sound. There is also on the steering wheel, there are volume controls, which I use. I will turn the volume up or down with that control. However, he likes to use the one in between us when I'm driving so he can control the volume as well. If he likes a song, he'll turn it up. If he doesn't, he'll turn it down. Now, that clicking sound, he can't hear it, he doesn't even notice it, but to me, I fucking hate it. It grates on me like a cheese grater, and every time he touches that volume control and I hear that tiny little clicking sound, I feel so angry. Now, he doesn't notice it, nor do the kids in the car or anyone else who's in the vehicle with us. They don't notice that sound. It doesn't bother them whatsoever. So what's the difference? For me, it's my thinking about it. I think things like, he can't do that. That is so irritating. He has to stop it. He's not allowed to do that. And when I think those thoughts, I'm the one that feels annoyed. I control my emotion and I generate a feeling that is annoyed or angry or frustrated. And I am responsible for generating that emotion. I am responsible for feeling that way. Now, hear me when I say that does not mean that I don't ask him to stop doing it, right? Of course I do. I ask him and I explain to him why it bothers me from an ADHD sensitivity point of view. And I am responsible for communicating my needs as well as for managing my emotions and my reactions. When we take responsibility, we become empowered. And empowered people make empowered choices, and they also give empowered explanations. So, what's the difference between blaming ourselves and taking responsibility? Because so often, you know, we self-blame, which sounds like, you know, oh, you did this. What's wrong with you? You should know better. You should be ashamed of yourself for that. Right? That's what that self-blame often sounds like. So when we're doing that, it looks like beating ourselves up, telling ourselves that we suck, we should know better, we're a failure. And it feels really bad. Sometimes it'll feel like guilt or shame. When we take responsibility, it's empowering, even for something that we wish we hadn't done. When I interrupt somebody when they're talking, when I yell at the kids, or when I, you know, say something to my partner that I wish I hadn't said. When we take responsibility, we start to make changes and feel better. Versus when we blame ourselves, when we blame our ADHD, when we blame other people, we don't take action to change. We stay stuck and feel miserable. Okay. Now, doing this does not mean that you're going to be happy all of the time. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but life is 50-50. And it's not bad news. It's the best news. We're not meant to be happy all the time. We're meant to feel all of the emotions. Okay? Happiness is one of many. Without happiness, without sadness, you wouldn't understand and appreciate happiness. Okay? So by doing all of this, by taking responsibility and shifting from an excuse to an explanation, it doesn't mean you'll be happy all the time. But you will be in a position to change your life. You will be in a place of empowerment rather than disempowerment. Now, even when we explain how ADHD affects us and our behavior, even when we take responsibility for our actions, other people may still say to us, that's just an excuse. That's not good enough. You should know better. And guess what? We can't control them. We cannot make them understand. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, people would just do what we wanted them to do? Maybe, maybe not, right? Maybe, maybe not. But the reality is that we can't control people, okay? We can only control ourselves. And this is the part, right, when people say, hey, that's an excuse, that's not good enough, you should know better. That's just the part where we get to own who we are. It is the part where we have our own backs, okay? It is an opportunity for you to back yourself, to believe in yourself, to support yourself, to validate yourself. And it's the part where we just let them be wrong about us. People are always going to have their opinions and their judgments and think that they know better. And that's okay. Let them. Let them be wrong about you, about us. It's not always easy. I know that. You know that. We all know that. But it is very liberating and it is very empowering. Okay? That's it for this episode, my friend. You've got this. Huge, huge love to you all. Take care. I'll speak to you next week. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.